Welcome to Story Building for Work. This is Module 3, Section 1.
Trust. The trust you seek in any situation begins within you. In business and work, leveraging the power of story is really about trust. Your role as a storyteller is to build individual confidence needed to tell the larger collective story. Not only your confidence, but the confidence of each of your stakeholders. But let's come back to you.
As we said in the last module, the final section, you're already a storyteller. I'm going to add to that and say you're a better storyteller than you think you are. I heard Seth Godin, author, speaker, blogger, lots of other cool things. I once heard him use this example in a talk. He said, if you ask a room full of young children, who here is a good artist? Or simply, who is an artist? All the hands are going to go up. And this was actually, the story that he related was actually something that someone had done. So it was from an actual study. So they asked the kids, who's a good artist? And all these kids raise their hands, right? And you start in the lower grades. But as they went from room to room and grade to grade, asking the same sorts of questions, and they asked this question, who's an artist? Fewer and fewer hands went up until by the time you're in high school and you ask who's an artist, everybody turns around to look back at the goth kid with the black eyeliner and the black fingernails. And so while that's a bit of a stereotype, admittedly, the point is that as you get older and older, fewer and fewer people are willing to raise their hands when they're asked some of life's more important questions. And so in this one, we talk about an artist. But we can also ask the question of a storyteller. You could ask children, who likes to tell stories? And I'm sure you'll get all hands in the room raised. But by the time you get to a room full of adults, you'll likely see few, if any, hands go up. But it's time for you to put your hand back up. Because you can tell a story. You've been telling stories your whole lives. And you're probably a lot better at it than you think you are, as we've already said. So most likely, early on in this course, you said to yourself, I'm not a good storyteller. And our reply to that is, yes, you are. So I want to ask a couple questions. I want you to jot down the answers to these questions real quick. Think of a time when you took on a new role in life. How did you feel when you took on this role? What had you done to prepare taking on the role? What was the outcome? And how did your preparations or lack thereof help or hinder you in reaching that outcome? So if you had one or two sentence answers to each of these questions, guess what? You just told a story.
And I'm going to, an encouragement, I'm just going to quote Norman Vincent Peale, and I'm dating myself quoting Norman Vincent Peale. Some of you may not know who that is, but known for his work with just the power of positive thinking. But here's what he said. Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. So let's go back to possibly the most important question we've asked in this course. And it was a question that followed these questions I'm about to remind you of that you answered as you reviewed your desire and intent for your project. So those questions that you reviewed in light of your desire and intent were, one, what is it that appears to be so important to you? Two, what is it that you know you can do? And three, do you have ideas about how you might begin to do it? And that very important question that followed was, what do your answers to these three questions tell you about your leadership? And what you identify with your answer is the basis of the strength that you must leverage as you lead others towards buy-in and you persuade them towards your project and what you're trying to do and the subsequent unfolding of that work, of that project, that clarity to engagement, connection, that full rhythm. So I want to tell you a story from my work life and history, and I almost feel weird sometimes saying this about this story. It's one of my favorite stories in my career, yet there were parts of it that I didn't really want to have to do this project. I wasn't asked, would I like to do this project? It was more, we need you to lead this. And so I was asked to lead this. It was a major project, and it was within the last 2 years of my corporate experience. And here's where why I feel kind of guilty sometimes saying it was just such a great experience, because the work included staff reductions in three states. That did not excite me. And Rick, a different Rick than we're talking here with today, was my boss, and he was the leader who enrolled me to lead the project. And when he did so, now let me pause and say this. Rick knew me well. I knew Rick well. I had led many projects for him. I was his go-to guy. So he called me in, and he gave me, and I call them three pillars. At least that's what I called him at the time. He gave me three pillars around which to build. One, here was the first one, achieve the cost savings. Makes sense, right? Two, maintain and even prove the quality of the work we would be moving around in these three states. I knew I could do that, but that one, I felt the challenge of that one. And then three, do the right thing by the people. And he made no attempt to tell me how to do what I needed to do, because we had trust. In his three pillars, I knew what to focus on. And even though it may not seem like it at the first glance, I had my why. And so for me, the three pillars became the story that I and my eventual project team had to tell. So the three pillars, now this is very interesting, the three pillars around which I built this story were represented by Rick's desire and intent, not my own. But because he gave me such clarity, I felt the engagement. I made my own connection right up front. So anyway, while it was not my own desire and intent, his desire and intent helped me become passionate about and invested in the story I was asked to implement and execute. And I'm calling his desire and intent the three pillars. And his pillars or desire and intent provided the balance between the tangible and the intangible, which was very important to me. Because for me, the fulcrum of this, of the part, or the, excuse me, the fulcrum was the part about doing the right thing by the people. Mm. So let me stop here and do something before we go on. I've got a little more to say about the story, but let me stop here and pause it and say this. I've asked you these questions. I've asked you to go back to that most important question. What do your answers about the questions of what's important? What can you do? Do you have ideas how you may begin to do it? What does that tell you about your leadership? And I said that whatever you answered, whatever that tells you about your leadership is the basis of the strength that you must leverage. As I thought about this and how this applies to this story with Rick giving me this assignment, he had given me an assignment a couple of years before. And how it happened, it was actually a really powerful moment, because I had a goal when it came to leading projects and doing, or as a leader, period. I had a goal that I knew I would have arrived at a good point when people would, because I loved variety. I loved doing the project work because it was variety. You know, in 15 years, I had 23 assignments. Loved that. When that phone rang that day and he said, I've got something I want you to consider doing. I've already talked to your boss. He's given me permission to call you and ask you to lead this project. By the way, it was to lead a big project while I'm still managing that division of that other story I told about, where I shared my desire and intent with that division. But they were doing such a good job, they didn't need me every day. So I knew it was going to be extra. I was taking on extra. I'm sure, like, if you who are listening to this, you're taking on extra with your projects. But Rick called and he said, you know, here's the project I want, you know, you to do. You know, you can say yes or no. And, you know, right then I knew I'd arrive because I wanted that ability to say yes or no. But that wasn't me knowing I'd achieved my goal. What let me know I had achieved my goal for the type leadership I wanted to be known for is when Rick said, let me tell you why I'm asking you, because you're at the top of the list. If you say no, I'll go to the next person. But let me tell you why you're at the top of the list. Because we know how you do things. You leave people whole. And he said, and this one has got some tricky relationship issues and people need to be left whole. Well, I guess I was quoting, I can't remember, was Jerry Maguire out at the time? He had me at hello. So anyway, but he recognized my strength. And so that's what we want you to get conscious of is right. When you think about what is all this telling you about your leadership, it's telling you something about that core strength that so many things revolve around, and pay attention to that. So back to the story of this project where, you know, I was given the three pillars: achieve the cost savings, maintain and improve the quality of the work we'd be moving around, and do the right thing by the people. And as I've said, that do the right thing by the people was that real critical piece for me. So how my team and I approached this we did so both subjectively and objectively, and that's what made the difference. So, in other words, instead of viewing the people who were being, their jobs being eliminated and this kind of things as simply names on a list or collateral damage statistics, we thought of them first as human beings. We even had a vision around that one piece, and that vision was they're at their new job, sitting at the break table with their new peers, and they're talking about how much they loved working for the company they just left.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't want my job to be eliminated, but boy, I respect how they did it. And that was our vision. So we did everything with that vision in mind in that piece. And we had similar visions for the other two. And that, but that enabled us to tell a story that treated them with the respect and care they deserved. Kind of back to that, you know, if you look at that one piece, that clarity to engagement connection for this one piece of the story, the connection piece is when I traveled back to these sites where people were losing their jobs, and I would meet them in the hall or I'd go sit at their desk, and they talked and graciously talked about how we were doing what we were doing and even thanked me for how it was being done.
Hmm.
So as we move on to the next section, which is explore, be reassured that as long as you let your desire and intent and the strength we've been talking about of your leadership, as long as you let that drive the stories you tell, both your personal stories and the larger story you're seeking to build with others and your stakeholders, you cannot go wrong.